I'm Matthew Petty, and this is Intersection. The city of Sanford was in the national spotlight in the wake of the shooting death of teenager Trayvon Martin in 2012. Mayor Jeff Triplett worked with the police department and clergy to better strengthen community relations and quell any potential unrest in the aftermath of the shooting and during the subsequent trial of George Zimmerman in 2013. But now the city's leadership is facing scrutiny for development decisions in the area's downtown. Mayor Triplett is up for re-election next week and he's facing opposition. Student and Goldsboro resident William Robinson and small business owner Bob Kuhn are challenging Triplett. I'll speak to the Sanford mayoral candidates about issues affecting the city. That's ahead on Intersection. I'm joined in the studio by Sanford Mayor Jeff Triplett. Triplett was elected mayor in November 2010. He's the Senior Vice President at United Legacy Bank. He's also served on the board of the Downtown Sanford Community Redevelopment Agency, the Sanford Airport Authority, and the Seminole County Port Authority, among others. Welcome back to Intersection.
Thanks for having me.
We're also joined in the studio by mayoral candidate William Chandler Robinson. Robinson is a politics student at Florida International University. He's also in the NCAA Division I track program, and he's a graduate of Lake Mary High School. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Mayor Triplett, I want to start with you. Now, in a previous interview on this program, you were kind of noncommittal about whether you wanted to run again for mayor. This was a couple of years ago. When did you decide to seek re-election and what motivated you to take that decision?
You know, you always keep it in your mind. It's kind of an open door. And, you know, we went through a lot of tough times and took a lot of time away from my family and from my job as a senior VP with the bank. But as we made it through that and we moved on, we've got a lot of development issues going on, a lot of things happening. And 4 years is really just not enough to get you, because you're taking care of what transpired before you, and then you're leading into what you're going into. And there's a lot of things there that I've been a party to that I'd like to see to a close.
Now, you mentioned that the tough times the city went through, and of course the national and international media spotlight was on Sanford pretty intensely throughout 2012 and into 2013 too, after the fatal shooting of teenager Trayvon Martin and the subsequent trial of George Zimmerman. What did you learn from that?
We learned individually and as a city that no matter what decision you're making, that sometimes the best decisions you make are the ones that don't come to fruition. You know, we put out a lot of fires. I think we did a good job of, once we finally got out in front of it, allowing people to come in and demonstrate, as long as they did it peacefully, having an open dialogue, bringing people to the table and truly showing care and compassion for what people were thinking. We always said you can't walk in someone else's shoes because you don't know what they've been through, but you can walk next to them and try to make the next time better. And I think we proved through the leadership, not only through the city commission and the mayor's office, but through the departments and the city manager, that we made some mistakes and we had some problems, and there was a mistrust between the police department and our citizens, and we actively worked and told them that we would work to make it better, and I think we've gotten there. I think it's never going to be perfect. We're always working to a better end, but I think we're much better than we were when 3 years ago.
William Chandler Robinson, you're pretty new to the political scene. What got you interested in this race, and what do you think you can bring to the table?
I've had my eyes on politics since I was a young boy in middle school, when I first saw Obama running for president, and it just inspired me, as a young boy growing up. And I knew from the time I was a freshman in high school that I wanted to be a political science major in college, and I've had my eyes on local politics increasingly as I've gotten older. And even in college, that was right in the time of the Trayvon incident, and my eyes were just intense. And I always liked to put myself in the shoes of the leaders who were in office and, tried to think of what I would do in that situation. And I just love the local politics system, the local government system in America. So many people have their attention on the big races like the president's and the governor's roles, but it's really in small town local governments that things get done and accomplished. That's what really creates what we call America, and it's a beautiful thing, and I would love to have the opportunity to help my city become a better place.
Now, you grew up in Goldsboro. Goldsboro was kind of the epicenter of a lot of the protest activity after the shooting of Trayvon Martin. A lot of national, international attention even on that part of the city. What sort of did you experience through that, and did that sort of contribute to your desire to get into this race?
It definitely played a role in the way that I approached this race and what I thought the job as a mayor was. But, you know, for the most part, the Trayvon incident was unprecedented. You know, stuff like that happens every day, but this was one of the first times that a situation like this actually got the national attention and the national spotlight. You know, I was actually in the courtroom for the closing arguments and the deliberation and the final reading of the verdict. And, you know, I remember thinking, man, I don't know what's going to happen in my city when I step out of this courthouse. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of expected, you know, some intense riots, you know, something that people were playing up on the social media. They kind of expected it, but I was very happy with the way Sanford handled the case and that we didn't turn into a Ferguson.
Jeff Triplett, after the former police chief was let go, you got a new chief, Cecil Smith. He's pledged to improve the relationship between the city and its police force, and particularly in the Goldsboro community. You alluded to that before. How's he doing?
I think he's done a wonderful job. Even distractors that were upset about the former police chief being let go have commented, you know, I'm mad about that, but I think he's done a wonderful job. That Chief Smith has done a wonderful job since he's been here. You know, he is very active in the community. He's he's one of those hands-on guys where, you know, he takes the lead. He'll show up at the call. He'll, you know, the walk and talks that he's, you know, created and to truly has truly put together a community policing system. You know, our rates have gone up a little bit as far as the number of calls. And you never want to see that in a city. But I think it's truly the fact that, you know, they've reached out to over 6,000 households, people that have never had a trust for the police department. And they're knocking on those doors and saying, here's my card. Call me if you see something. We need your help. We can't do it alone. We have 130 police officers in a city of, you know, 54,000 people. We need the eyes and the ears of everybody. And so we've seen those groups that were very anti-Sanford Police Department that were actually pushing for us to close up shop and go to Seminole County Sheriff's Office say, you know what, we're giving these people a chance because they're walking the walk, they're talking the talk, and that's something different than we've seen, you know, through the past history of the city of Sanford. They're getting out of their cars and they're talking to people, and that's the true community policing system that we need in Sanford. I mean, we have 9 of the 11 poverty pockets in Seminole County, so we have to go into those areas and have a trust relationship, not only with police, but with City Hall. Mm-hmm. And I think the police department under Cecil Smith's leadership has actually gotten a little bit out in front of where City Hall has. We're still going with that and opening those doors. So he's been a wonderful addition to the city of Sanford, and I hope he's here for a long time.
William Robinson, what's your view of the way the relationship has changed, if it has at all, between the city and the police?
Well, for one, like Jeff mentioned, I think Cecil Smith is doing a great job. For the first time in a while, you know, I actually associate a face with the police department, and that's Cecil Smith. You know, I see his post on Facebook. I see him making good appearances at events like National Night Out and the West Side community meetings, and he's actually having a presence and communicating and letting the people know what's going on, you know, and if elected, I'd like to see that continue.
Mayor Triplett, what's happening with the Sanford Housing Authority and those apartments that have sat empty in the city for so long? There was some, obviously, a bit of media attention earlier in the year about it. So you had Congressman John Micah making noise about it. What's happening with those? And I guess I wonder if you can sort of talk me through what the future is of that housing complex.
That's run by the Sanford Housing Authority. That's a HUD project, federal project. So we've been working hand in hand with you know, HUD out of Jacksonville and out of Washington, D.C. And as you know, anytime you get the feds involved in anything, it takes, you know, five times longer than it actually should. 3/4 of those buildings on the housing authority have been demolished, come down. There is the money in line right now for the remainder of the houses to come down. They are boarded up. They're gated. Nobody's in there. There's the holdup has been there's 6 families that are still within that property that they had redone those duplexes prior to being able to take them all out. So getting those families moved and into the Section 8 program has caused a delay in going ahead and demolishing the whole. So we will not have any of the housing authority, 437, I believe, units anymore. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, what we're doing is working on the grant system, putting together the grants to come up with the plan, and the city council a couple of months ago put $250,000 aside, which is a matching grant to help put together the plan to try to get the final grant to rebuild, reconstruct.
William Robinson, what do you think about public housing in Sanford? Do you think there's enough public housing for those who need it?
I've talked to a lot of citizens on their opinions on the public housing and the closing of the housing projects. And, there's really, you get two sides. You get the side that says they support the closing down of the housing projects, that, they like Section 8 and dispersing these low-income individuals that are hurting throughout different areas of the county, mixed in with regular people in regular neighborhoods. I hate to use the word regular. I don't like segregating them like that, but you know what I mean. And then you get another side of the argument who actually liked the housing projects. They liked being surrounded by people who were familiar with them, people who were on the same level as them. So, as mayor, I don't think it's my job. Well, actually, I know it's not my job to make that decision. It's important and crucial that we get the information from both sides of the argument and lay it all on the table so that me and the city commission, along with the city manager, can make the best decision that represents the will of the majority.
What about transportation, access to SunRail and other forms of mass transit? What would you do to make sure those links are secure and strong?
I think that the location of SunRail was not fully thought out to benefit the majority. It's kind of hard to get to sometimes for a lot of people. It's not in only a handful of citizens in the city are in walking distance of the SunRail station. So it is crucial that we find great transportation, easy access to the SunRail station for whatever housing foundations are developed.
I'm Matthew Petty, and you're listening to Intersection on 90.7 News. We're discussing the upcoming Sanford mayoral election. You can join the conversation online on Facebook and Twitter. You can also send us an email at intersection@wmfe.org. Jeff Triplett, just back to you for a moment. The city recently passed a bill to build an assisted living facility on Marina Island. There was some outcry over that. Some Sanford residents are unhappy about it. They say they would rather have a hotel, restaurants, shops in the area, and an assisted living facility they say would be inappropriate. Is this a stumbling block for you, do you think?
It could be. You don't ever make a determination based upon an election. I don't care who you are. Well, unless you're a true bred politician, which I'm not. I'm a businessman. And how I look at it as was it terrible timing? Yeah, I wish that all that would have come up, 2 years ago or 2 years from now. But the decision had to be made right then and there. And so my determination on that is you had zoning that there were rights for that developer, and within that zoning were nursing homes, had the ability to build nursing homes. By taking the assisted living facility part, shutting it down and saying this is the number of units you can have, this is what it needs to be, it's a lesser intensive use, and by getting this, because the developer was asking for this, you get the hotel, you get the shops, you get the high-end apartments, you get a lot of what you have. And we've looked at this island for 20 years. It has not been an economic development engine for 20 years. It hasn't done anything. And so to give up 30% of 7-acre tract, you give up 30% to get 70% of what you want, I'm going to have to take that risk. I'm going to have to make that call and push the envelope back over to them and say, I don't want the 42 items that they gave up to get to ask for the assisted living facility portion of it. And if you look at the blueprint and the income that the assisted living will derive, gives him the opportunity for the hotel and the rest of the development, the apartments and the retail restaurant to have the capability of flourishing, because we all know it takes 3 years for any new business to get up and be successful.
How do you feel about the way that whole Riverwalk section of the city is developing? Because that's been something that you and the city commission has been working on for some time.
Absolutely. Been working hard on that. We just actually received a report back from Little John Engineering about the pieces of property that we own as a city. We shouldn't own property on Lake Monroe, St. John's River. What we've put together, the plan that comes to fruition of the property that we have, could be $52 million in economic impact to the city of Sanford in new development. There's, like I said, there's developers out there that are ready, willing, and able to come as a partnership with us. This is just a small piece of the pie right there that will create the concept, that will create the live, work, play in downtown Sanford that we don't have. We've still got shops along First Street that aren't open. You know, they're vacant. We have to become the destination. We have to continue to push to bring people to live in downtown Sanford, and that's what we're doing with everything, the patterns that we're going. Imagine Sanford tying in SunRail, making sure the transportation can get back and forth to there, pushing SunRail to open up longer hours so that we can get the destination of people coming in, eating, going to the bars and the restaurants and such, and being able to get back on it and go without it just simply being a links-style system.
Mm-hmm. William Robinson, what do you think about the development of that downtown area, that Riverwalk? Do you think there are some improvements that could be made or a different tack that the city could be taking to revitalize that area?
There's always going to be improvements that can be made. You know, I think the downtown area in whole is doing good right now. It's successful. It's getting more attention. Events like Live After Five, you know, some of the new restaurants, some of the just unique places to go, like Rabbit Foot Records, they're bringing attention. We're definitely starting to see more people and more money being spent downtown. And with that being said, I think the decision to build an assisted living facility on there is a poor decision by our city commission. You know, the argument is made that the developers had the legal right to build their assisted living facility on there with the decision of the commission. But what I want to bring attention to is that the fact that these developers were really slack in their approach. You know, they're behind on their taxes. They had the opportunity to provide the commission with the information that they wanted prior to their decision of bringing the matter back up after it already got voted down in commission. You know, I just don't think that they deserve that opportunity, and I don't think that they were well prepared or that they honestly are looking out for the best interests of our city.
William Chandler Robinson, what's your message to the voters ahead of this election?
Give me a fair chance. You know, don't judge me solely on my experience. Judge me on my intentions as mayor and my claim, my legitimate claim for expressing my rights to run for mayor. You know, 37% of our population are under 25. I think that population needs a representation. You know, we're in unprecedented times. We're living in new days and age. Nobody in our commission is, you know, under the age of 40. That's big.
I'm close.
You know, you are, Jeff. But I think that I think that with a city manager style of government in which the mayor does not have the executive powers that the city manager does, you know, he has a vote on the commission. I think that it's important to put somebody new, put somebody young in there with a mind on the future. Somebody, you know, I plan on living 80 more years in Sanford. So I really want to see it get to where I know it can be, and I think it's time for new leadership, not a businessman, just somebody who's a regular citizen, somebody with visions and has the passion for changing.
And Mayor Triplett, your message to the voters?
Well, thanks for having us both in. And I like Mr. Robinson. I think he's a good guy, and I wish him all the best of luck. Now is not the time for us to change. We've got 4,700 acres of undeveloped property that we need to create our tax base on the commercial side. We're pushing the programs that we've been looking at, the projects, the extension of the Riverwalk all the way out to I-4 from the hotel, the overlay, the housing system. I mean, we're ready. We're set stock and ready to go, and it's time for us to truly make that mark, and I'm the guy for that.
I've been speaking to Sanford Mayor Jeff Triplett. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me again.
And we've also been joined by mayoral candidate William Chandler Robinson. William, thank you very much for joining us.
It's been a great pleasure.
I also spoke to mayoral candidate Bob Kuhn, a small business owner in Sanford. We spoke by phone. He started the conversation by telling me about his campaign platform.
First one is the image. Has the image of Sanford improved over the last 4 years? The answer is no. Have we got the good development we all desire? The answer is no. Are we willing to accept the increase in crime, which is 18.4%, by the current mayor? The answer is no. And finally, are we willing to accept the shady budgeting practices by the mayor? The answer is no. So basically, that is the campaign in a nutshell.
If we could dive a little more deeply into some of those issues, why do you say that the finances are shady? What sort of specifically leads you to that position?
There's $34 million in infrastructure repairs and a $15 million debt service to the police and fire pension fund. When they set their budget this year, they did not address $1 to actually allocate monies to those two particular items. Then they boast that they have 35% in reserves. The question is, if we don't address these on a timely fashion, it's going to be substantially more in the next 3 years.
So how would you go about addressing that?
They're a very big part of the quality of life in Sanford, and really I think what we need to do is sit down with them and tell them we either have to enroll the new employees into the FRS system, cut benefits to all or possibly just to the new employees, or raise taxes. But we can't sustain this type of funding. It just is not feasible to the city of Sanford. So we have to address that. Really, the most practical is to have them join the Florida retirement system, would be my recommendation.
If we could pull out from the finances of you know, those two departments for a moment and talk about the job they're doing. This is a question I posed to the other two candidates I spoke to. I mean, do you think the police department is doing a good job in Sanford?
Absolutely.
Right.
Why the increase in crime is the fact that they have allocated years past 10 new patrol officers. They filled half of them. And it was budgeted over years past. My concern is why they haven't filled the other positions on the police department. I think if they did, then I think you'll see crime rates come down. Now, when I'm talking about crime, we're not talking about serious crime. We're talking about the more of the lesser type crime, burglaries.
Well, let's talk a little bit about image, because that's a concern of yours.
Yep.
Why do you think that the image of Sanford has tanked in the last 4 years?
Well, I just look at the last 2 years. Let's talk about that. Our current commission and mayor voted to approve a loft project to be built in our entertainment district. And the loft project is a government subsidized retirement center. Make a long story short, they violated their comp plan, and so they were challenged. So they swapped some property to relocate that development down to the old Sanford Police Department for the land that they were proposing to build this. Unfortunately, it cost the city of Sanford $700,000 to make that swap to avoid the lawsuit. Because of that, that's not the type of development we want. And as of today's date, there has been no activity on that development. The other thing, of course, is the ALF. The ALF was, it was fought tooth and nail by thousands and thousands of residents. Our Chamber of Commerce didn't want it. Our Planning and Zoning didn't want it. And they went ahead and agreed on it anyhow.
Just if you could clarify for some listeners who might not be familiar with it, what does the ALF stand for?
It is a government-subsidized retirement center, basically.
Okay.
So we've had in the last 2 years some very bad development, which, again, has brought negative image throughout Central Florida that why in the world is Sanford shooting themselves in the foot?
Surely there's a place for retirees, though. I mean, I think
we
that's
have
the
no
counter-
problem with that. It's location, location, location. And quite frankly, out by the airport would be a better place. But they just feel that this is going to be the good points are going to outweigh the bad points. Unfortunately, I totally disagree, and most of the people in Sanford disagree. I think I haven't heard anybody other than the mayor and a couple of commissioners that were in favor of this.
What are some of the other things that you have in mind to improve the economy and thereby the image of Sanford?
Well, I think development is a key to the success of any small community. I would like to see development on the west side of 1792, condominiums. I would also like to see rooftops in our downtown with residential. We have to create a residential area in our downtown to expect goods and services from our downtown. And without growth, it's not going to happen. The other thing I'd like to see in Sanford is have a hotel built out by the airport so we can attract the people to stay in Sanford overnight instead of getting in their rental cars and going to Orlando or Altamont or wherever they're going to be going to. I think with a soccer stadium, I think we're going to see major development in the south end of the city, which we will try somehow to make them come to our downtown through a shuttle service or incentives or whatever the case may be.
What about other transportation links? This is something that other candidates have talked about, SunRail, access to that, access to the airport, maybe getting some kind of permanent link between the airport and the city. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's something that we need to study. What I would like to see is, first of all, is there a need for it? If we could shuttle from the terminal to the airport, let's try that first, because to run that spur from the tracks to the airport, it's going to be very costly, and I'd like to make sure that's a feasible opportunity, and is it really now is the time to discuss? I'm not sure, because then, you know, it's going to affect our rental car business, and gives the airport a ton of money every year. So we have to kind of analyze it before we jump into it. I think it's something to consider, but I'm not sure to jump into it and pursue it at this point.
And just finally, obviously people know the name Kuhn because your wife was the mayor before, current mayor Jeff Triplett. Do you think that sort of name recognition gives you any kind of an advantage in this race?
Well, Linda did a remarkable job. I think if I can do half as good a job as she did, I'm sure there is going to be some recognition, but again, you know, I'm standing on my platform as a businessman, been involved in the community for 50 years. Again, I strongly believe that I'm the best, most qualified candidate. I understand zero-based budgeting. I understand, big business. I also understand if you don't have the money, you can't spend it. So, yeah, to answer your question, I think there is some recognition.
Bob Kuhn, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
The conversation about what's happening in Florida continues online at wmfe.org/intersection. There you can also sign up for our weekly podcast. Support for Intersection comes from our listeners. Brendan Byrne is assistant producer. I'm Matthew Petty. Thanks for listening.